we're recording now. Good evening, folks. Okay. Good evening, folks. What's the date today? March 15th, 2014. A number of us here, members of the church, which is the body of the fullness of the Son of God, are studying Koine Greek. I don't know what study number this is, but tonight is another study in our continuing travels in the Koine, and they will be until we're out of here. We will do this until we can't anymore. I'd like to open up with a prayer to our awesome God, our dear Heavenly Father. We come boldly to your throne through the Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, our head, the creator of all things, the Son of God, the coming Lord of Lords, King of Kings. We know that we're tremendously blessed by the Word of God that has been protected by you from all of these hundreds of years, or for all of these hundreds of years. We should really be aware from the time of the first century to now how the evil one, through different manners, has wanted to destroy this word, and to no avail, for we have it in this period of time more abundantly than maybe ever on the planet. We pray that we might be wise and not fools, that we might make the most of this day and the evil day, and that our zeal and our energies might be placed in our responsibility, in our responsibilities, but uttermost in our responsibility to you, as far as studying to show ourselves approved unto you, a correct workman, a non-ashamed workman, all of us, whether we're men or women. We pray for that always. We pray for the strength, the guidance, and the energy to get into your word, which we're going to do tonight through the Koine Greek. We know that your original New Testament was written in Koine, the common Greek of the time. And we do know that as we endeavor into this language, that it will bring, certainly, we're convinced, a certain, a more fuller understanding, a fuller beauty, a fuller knowledge to your word, and we understand that you would smile upon that. So we pray for all things that we leave in your feet, unto your feet, in your at your feet, that is, whatever needs we might have, spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, that we can trust in you. We pray that we might trust in you for all things, and we pray for the blessing of the Holy Spirit tonight, that it would, God the Holy Spirit, would work in our spirits to learn this language. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen. All right. We do, apparently we do have a couple of new members, Josh and Marissa, tonight, which is, you know, it's kind of hard for me to think about how to incorporate them into the study of the Koine. Josh and Marissa, if you look at your, if you look at your Greek text, your black textbook by Professor David Allen Black, there we've actually gone through most every lesson except number 10, and we're on lesson number 11 now. Now, I think that what we're going to do in the future is we're going to go back, especially once we're done with chapter 11, we're going to go back and we're really going to get involved in vocabulary, Koine Greek vocabulary. And so all I can say and direct you to, Josh and Marissa, is to go back to all of these lessons are recorded. And so if you guys have the time, which you will really need time to study this language, if any of us are going to get anything out of this language, we're going to have to put in the time. There's no doubt about it. So all of these lessons are recorded, and Josh and Marissa can go back and listen to them, and then just work along with us, you know. So I hope that is copacetic with you. I hope that agrees with your spirit. So let's turn to hi, seat guy. Let's turn to lesson number 11 in the Black textbook. Professor Alan Black's Learn to Read New Testament Greek. We're on demonstrative pronouns. And what we're going to do tonight is you better have some room around you, because we are going to be looking at scriptures out of your Byzantine text. That is the Byzantine text, New Testament, that there is no English in it. We're going to be looking at actual things in it, actual forms of actual verses in your Koine Byzantine text tonight. Then what you should also have is you should have an English Bible by you, so we can read the verses we're going to look at in the English. And we're just going to be looking at that. We're going to start delving into the Koine New Testament itself. So I thought to myself, if nothing else, folks are going to be looking at the actual Koine Greek forms, and your mind will have to attempt to grasp, understanding what these forms mean in the English. Now, also, too, what might be something handy is to have an Englishman's Greek interlinear. I recommend that all of us have a good Englishman's Greek interlinear. And what that is that's the English scriptures, or it's actually mine. I have one. It's a Hendrickson, or it's published by Hendrickson. Green is another good one. And what it has is it has the King James Version scriptures, and then it has the Koine Greek, and then in between the lines it has the actual, Nestle's is good, it has the actual English translation of the Koine Greek. So you should have one of those too, and you'd say, well, boy, this seems like a lot. Well, it is. There's no getting around it. This is work. And so, if any of us think that, other than the Holy Spirit magically putting in, minds that are totally photographic and such, we're gonna have to work at this, and that's what we can do for the rest of our lives. So, don't ever tell me that you don't have something to do for the rest of your life. All right. Well, turn to chapter 11 or page 80 in the Professor Black's. We're going to call it the learning text. Page 80, lesson number 11, demonstrative pronouns. Is everybody there? We went over about half of this last time. We're going to go back over it again. And, there's no exams here. You're not going to get a grade on anything we do. So you don't have to be sweating it out. You don't have to be under pressure. There is no pressure. Just kind of relax and just take in what we do. Again, there's no pressure on this. All right, demonstrative pronouns, page 80. Let's begin. All right, now, in the gray box, you see up there, when it is desired to call attention to a designated object, a demonstrative construction is used, from the Latin demonstro, I point out. This construction normally consists of a demonstrative pronoun. If nothing else, as we go on, we're going to be learning a lot about language. a lot about language because, hey, you know what? We're studying a foreign language. All right. It goes on to say, the near demonstrative, which is pronounced autos in the Greek, in the Koine, which means this, autos, and that's not autos, and it's an omicron, it's not autos, it's autos, autos. It means this, it points out something near at hand in the Koine Greek, while the remote demonstrative, ekinos, pardon me, I mispronounced that, it's ekinos, it's not ekinos, it's not ekinos, it's ekinos, means that. It points out something further removed. So in the scriptures tonight, we're going to learn about this and that. And we're going to look at where it actually occurs in about 10 different scriptures, and we're going to look at that. It's awesome. Now, last time, if you go down to the bottom of page 80, you'll notice that gray box there. And that's what those are, is that that's something called a paradigm. And that describes a lot of things. And, we notice that on the left of that gray box, it says NGDA. Those are the cases, nominative case, genitive case, dative case, and accusative case. And to those new to this, that's not going to make much sense to you right now. And then we have masculine, feminine, neuter, and then we have the different Greek forms and the suffix endings on them. You'll notice that there's different endings on the root forms. Well, some of us know about that, and others we have to learn these things. Koine Greek is a lot of memorization, that's for sure. So I mean I can't miraculously have you avoid that. That's just the way it goes. Go on to page 81. Hold it a second. Go back to page 80, and on top of that, on top of the gray box, where it says A, it says the declension of autos, aute, and tuta, meaning this, is given below. All right, and then go up on page 81, and it says B there, the declension of ekenas, ekene, ekena, which means that, is given below. And what these paradigms are is they discuss this Greek form in different cases, four different cases, in singular and plural, in masculine, feminine, and neuter number, or name, I should say, not number. So all of this initially might be very confusing, but just go with it. All right, and understanding a bit of these paradigms, these gray boxes, comes from going back and studying, lessons like, let's say, 1 through 5 or so. And so, you know, we've done that already, but we can go back to it again. Now, let's just tonight. What we're going to do is we're going to read about these demonstrative pronouns, this and that, in the Koine Greek, and then we're going to look at actual scriptures where they occur. I thought this would be really neat in the sense that, hey, they are really there in the Greek New Testament. So, let's go on. It says, uses of demonstratives. There are three main uses of Greek or Koine Greek demonstratives, okay? And what we're going to do is we're going to look at three examples of how they're used. You'll notice, on page 81, they're going to give us one use of it. Then if you flip over to page 82, they're going to give us the two other uses of them. And then there's a couple of uses on the top of page 83. And then there's vocabulary on page 83. But we're going to get, when you see the scriptures there, we see the verses there like Luke 13:6 on the top of page 82, Matthew 24:14. We're actually going to go there in your Byzantine text, and we're actually going to prove what this textbook is saying right in your Koine Greek text, all right? And then to also prove that out, if you have this interlinear handy, you can look at that too, all right? To prove out that what we're looking at is true, all right? So let's go back to page 81 in the middle. And like I said, this is a lifelong thing. And yeah, I won't harp on that matter, but it's work. Okay, in the middle of page 81, we have the mini lesson 78. It says, uses of demonstratives. There are three main uses of Greek, Koine Greek demonstratives. Number one, they are most frequently used to modify nouns. So a pronoun does modify a noun, in which case they agree with the noun in gender, number, and case. That is to say, autos, and adjectives like agathos. And agathos means good or well, good. In this use, the noun always has the definite article. And what is the definite article? The definite article is the. That's what a definite article is. The house, the scriptures, the building, the apostle. The definite article is the. And so what this is saying is it's saying that in this use of number one of the demonstrative pronouns, the noun always has the definite article. And the demonstrative pronoun stands in the predicate position, or in the explanatory half of the sentence. That is, the pronoun is never immediately preceded by the definite article. So what this rule is this, is that when this demonstrative pronoun is used to modify a noun, in this case, the noun always has the definite article, the, but the demonstrative pronoun does not. If that makes sense to you, that if you listen to my words, it does make sense. Hence, this man, like I said, tonight we are studying this and that. That's what we're studying. Hence, this man would be either autos ha anthropos or ha anthropos autos. All right, so you notice that the ha, that's the omicron, just the single letter there. The ha is the definite article. And that ha modifies anthropos, which is the man. All right, it's not modifying the autos, which is this. All right, so autos ha anthropos or ha autos or ha anthropos autos means this man, this, not that, this man. The same position may be used in any case function as in the following. All right, so don't let this, you know, drive you nuts. Just go with it. So now we're going to look at a few Koine Greek sentences and see the translation of them. Blepo, which means I see, touton, ton, anthropon. Blepo, touton, ton, anthropon. And it means I see this man. Blepo, touton, ton, anthropon. I see this man. The touton is this. The next one is blepo ekanon ton anthropon. Notice that it's not touton, but it's ekanon. And the translation of this is, I see that man, this and that. All right. The next one is Lego, I speak, to tois, tois, anthropois. This is the plural of men, of man, and it means I speak to these men. It doesn't mean I speak to those men. It means I speak, the two tois means these men. And as we learned earlier, we learned that autos, or the form two tois, points out something near at hand. These men, this man, these men. All right? So, lego, two tois, tois, anthropois, I speak to these men. This and that. This is a demonstrative pronoun that is near. That is a demonstrative pronoun that's farther away. That's pretty, you know, straightforward. So here we go. Open up, you know, get that Byzantine text there and break it open. Break out the cobwebs, all right? Get the cobwebs out of our bobos or out of our brains here tonight. And we're going to look at actual references in God's holy word where this and that in the Koine is actually used, all right? And I looked most of these scriptures over. A couple of them I didn't get to, just two of them I didn't, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I got to 10 out of the 14. So for the next half an hour or so, we're going to be looking at 10 actual scriptures concerning this and that in the Koine. All right? Hebrews 7:1. All right, so when you take your Byzantine Greek New Testament and you turn to page 467. Turn to page 467. Okay, and we're going to take this slowly. You know, just and if nothing else, tonight is going to be a mental exercise in your brain seeing the Koine New Testament. And we're going to translate it, you know, the verses that we look at. Okay, so now if we go to the English New Testament, is anybody having sound problems? Anybody? Doherty? Are you? Anybody else? Okay, how do we sound now? Okay, you're good. Breaking up. Intermittent. Well, I don't know why that would be. But, okay, we're going to go for it. Okay, so you turn to page 467 in your totally Koine text. Turn there. Then you take your King James Version of the Scriptures and you look at Hebrews 7:1. So we're going to go to the King James Version. Again, what are we doing tonight? We're studying a demonstrative pronouns, this and that. And that's good, all right? So Hebrews 7:1, I'm turning there now in the King James. So let's turn to Hebrews 7:1. Thank you, Tony, for all you're doing. Hebrews 7:1. Great. In the King James, it reads, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. For this Melchizedek, it doesn't say for that Melchizedek, it says for this Melchizedek. All right, so turn to page 467 in your Byzantine. Okay, is everybody there? Remember, this and that are demonstrative pronouns. This is either autos, aute, or tuta, and that is either ekenas, ekene, or ekena. Alright, well, I don't know what, okay. Alright, well, good. But, yeah, see, so, turning to the Byzantine, I'm going to read this now in the Greek. In the Byzantine text, if you look at the top of page 467, you'll notice the Greek form klas, klas Hebrews, and you'll notice klas, that just means according to, all right, klas, according to Hebrews. That's what that means at the top of the page. And then we go down to 7:1. And I'm going to read the Koine as far as we're going to take it. I'm not going to read the whole verse. I will read a part of it. Autos gar ha Melchizedek basileas salaim erus tu thiu tu Hupistu. All right, and then I'm going to stop there. And this means, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem. Okay, so we have autos gar means for. Autos gar, for this. Ha Melchizedek means the Melchizedek, or Melchizedek, for this Melchizedek, Basileas, that's king of Salem, Salme, Herus, that's priest, to Theu, to Hufistu, is priest of God the Most High. So we notice in action, autos, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God. All right? And we notice that in this way of using the demonstrative pronoun, that the definite article, which is omicron, standing alone with the rough breathing mark, is not complementing the autos. Autos gar ha Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek. All right? And just go with it. Don't be sweating it. You're not under any sort of pressure. Just sit back, have your coffee, and whatever, and just know that autos gar ha Melchizedek means for this Melchizedek. And remember the rule here, going back to the textbook in page 81, it says, reading that, going back to your text now, there are three main uses of Greek demonstratives. And this is where the definite article does not complement the demonstrative, but it complements Melchizedek. All right? Another example is given in Revelation 22:6. We're going to look at that. And we're going to go through 10 examples tonight of this and that. And that's what this is about tonight. But you're actually seeing, and thanks a lot, Tony, for putting this up there the way you are. You're actually seeing the Koine for this and that and its modifications. And so just go with it. So let's look at Revelation 22:6. And in your Byzantine text, that's without any English, it's on page 530 of your Byzantine text, so turn there. And you could say, well, why is he doing this? I told you, because your brain is going to actually see the Koine forms, and specifically, there are no words in the Koine. There are either roots or forms. And that's getting extremely persnickety, but we're going to do this language as persnickety as possible, giving honor to God the Holy Spirit. All right, so we look at page 530 in your Byzantine at Revelation verse 22, chapter 22, verse 6. Okay, now keep that open and turn to your English Bible, your King James. All right, so tonight, yeah, your King James Version. Okay, so you're going to have at least what you should have here is you should have your instructional textbook by Black opened up. You should have your Byzantine text opened up. And you should at least have your King James scriptures or the Companion Bible opened up. And see, eventually you're going to have to get a lot of book stands, where you have four or five or so books opened up all at the same time, like Bullinger. Okay? You're going to be just like that. You know, and if you think that's going to drive you crazy, well, we can be crazy in the Lord. So let's turn to Revelation 22, verse 6. And in the Companion Bible it says, "And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done." And so turn back to your Byzantine text on page 530, and we're just going to read a part of verse 6. And in the Greek, in your Byzantine text, it says, "Kai, lege moi, otoi, hoi logoi, pistoi, kai, alethinoi." And I'm going to stop there. And what that means, if you turn back to page 81 in your instructional textbook, otoi, ho, logoi, pistoi, kai, Elethinoi, actually, if you look at those accents, Elethinoi, and by the way, it isn't iota, it's iota, means these words are faithful and true. We notice that the autoi has a plural suffix on it. Again, Revelation 22:6, or part of it, autoi ho logoi pistoi, I should say. It's not pistoi, it's pistoi, kai alethinoi. These words are faithful and true. Autoi, these. Turn the page. Luke 13:6. turn to page 160 in your Byzantine text. 160 in your Byzantine. That's the text that only has Koine Greek in it. Okay? Hold that open. Page 160 in the Byzantine, and then turn in your companion Bibles to Luke 13:6. In the companion, it reads, "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none." And the phrase, "he was speaking this parable," in the Koine, it is elegan de, tautain, tain, parabolain. It's not parabolain, it's parabolain. And most of us always pronounce an omicron like an omega. And that's not, if we're going to be persnickety, it's not parabolain, it's parabolain. All right? Now, we do this really easy, but I want all of you Greek students to pay particular attention when you're teaching the scriptures to get this right. And what's unfortunate, in my opinion, who cares about your opinion, in my opinion, that in the companion Bible, they do not have the actual Koine text. I would rather see the actual Koine than a transliterated text where they translate the Koine into English letters. I think that can throw people off. So, back to your Byzantine, it's pronounced elegan, de, tautain, tain, parabolain. And that means he was speaking this, the tautain, this parable, parabolain. Great. Okay, we're going to do this for a few more. I hope this is edifying to you, but it should be, because what's happening is you're seeing the actual proof in the actual text. All right? And what you should do is, I like to highlight these phrases, like elegain de tautain tain parabolain. Take a highlighter and highlight that in your Byzantine, because that'll let your brain know that you've gone over that and that you're at least a bit familiar with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's a great thing to mark up your scriptures and mark up your textbooks, because a nice, pristine, non-dirty textbook probably means that we haven't done anything. Okay, let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, 14. And in your Byzantine, it's on page 54. Page 54 in your Byzantine text. Page 54 in the text that only has Koine Greek. Page 54. And going to the companion Bible, Matthew 24:14. We'll read it. And it reads, "And this gospel," okay, and personally speaking, I would rather see. Who cares what you would rather see? I would rather see it written, and this good message of the kingdom, because people out there in the world think there's one gospel. Oh, what do you believe in? Well, I believe in the gospel, you'll have a lot of folks say. Well, the proper question to that would be, which one? Because there are many gospels. And so, in fact, I personally do not like the English word. I'm not saying I don't like the gospel. I'm saying I would rather see it read, and this good message. Because people in the world, through their ignorance, think that there's only one gospel, and that's utterly and totally ridiculously ignorant. I will say that, even though that sounds cutting. What they're doing is they're doing a tremendous disservice to the Word of God by saying, oh, I believe in the gospel, because they're dictating or they're assuming that there's only one, and that is a lie, actually. So, in this case, ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance is deceiving. So, it reads, and this gospel, but Mikey here would rather have it read, and this good message of the kingdom. All right? So, did we read that in the King James? We did. Okay, so now we have to go to our Byzantine and look at the beginning of verse 14 on page 54 in your Byzantine, the all Greek text. And it reads this way: Kai, karux thesete. Let me repeat that again. I mispronounced that. Kai, karuxfeisetai, tuta ta uangelion, or wangelion. And so what that means, wangelion, is the good message, or the gospel. Wangelion, uangelion, is the Koine Greek form for gospel, or actually, better said, good message, because there are many good messages. What's happening here is that Matthew is talking about the good message of the kingdom. All right? That is not the same as the good message of the mystery by any means, shape, or form whatsoever. So if you know that, you have made a giant hurdle in the world of Christendom, because the evil one has done a great work in deceiving ones through laziness and through ignorance. And that's not a cutting remark, it is a factual remark of what's out there in the world. A lot of people want other people to do their studying for them. The Lord wants you to do your studying for yourself. He doesn't want your husband or wife to do it for you. He doesn't want your pastor or teacher to do it for you. And He wants you to do it for yourself. And that is His direction and nobody else's. So you take either man's direction or Almighty God's direction. No, not even Mikey. Mikey's got to account for Mikey. And believe me, there's a lot of things that I have yet to look over. And, really, I'm serious. I've got a lot to go, because there's a lot of things I don't know. But I do know some things. And one of the things I do know is how ignorant the believing world, the believing world is to the Scriptures of God, because they're lazy. You know, I'm sorry, but they are. They want to show up on Sunday for an hour or two thinking that they paid God a visit. If you can imagine that. Well, the Lord is right next to you every day, every second of the day. So how can you go to a building to visit Him? You are the church. And that's the truth, you know. And no matter how anybody rails on you for saying that, too bad. All right? When the Lord came here to a lot of derision. They called Him a blasphemer, injurious. They crucified Him. Along with Paul, they killed Him. Now, why is it that this world treats the truth like that? You know, why was it that the Lord wasn't taken to Rome in the Colosseum in front of thousands and worshipped and bands playing, trumpets going off, have Him in purple and gold and honors? Why didn't that happen to God Himself? Why is that? And if you ask that question to somebody and they don't know the answer, well, they've got a problem. So, let's go on. Enough of Mikey's blather here. So we saw that Kurax Thesatai Tuto Ta Uangelion means this gospel or this message will be preached. And if you look at where In your Byzantine text on page 54, starting at verse 19, it reads, Kai Kerux Faisatai Tuta Ta Uangelion. And that means this gospel or this good message will be preached. And then it goes on to say, the good message, Tais Basileas, that's of the kingdom. Basileas or Basilei is king, by the way. All right, that was awesome. Next one, 1 Corinthians 11:25. We're going back to your textbook on page 82. And you should turn to page 393 of your Byzantine text. 1 Corinthians 11:25, turn to page 393 of your Byzantine text. Okay, go there. You'll see at the top of page 393, Pras Corinthinoi is, and then it has A. Well, in the Koine Greek, they denote books 1 and 2 by either A or B. So on the top of page 393 in your Byzantine text, which is totally Koine, it says Plas Corinthians A. And what that means is according to 1 Corinthians. And if you looked ahead, you would see Plas Corinthians B. And that's according to Corinthians 2. All right? Great. All right, so let's turn back to the King James. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Let's read it. Remembering that we're studying the demonstrative pronouns this and that. 1 Corinthians 11:25. Looking into your King James Version, your companion Bible, it reads, after the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Looking back at your Professor Black's textbook on page 82, under the 1 Corinthians 11:25, the coin is tutatapoikarion he kine diatheke estin. And what that means is this cup, this potarion is, which is estin, the new covenant, the kine diatheke, this cup, the tuta paterion, this cup, not that cup, this cup. Great. Now, we're at about 7:30. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more to go. I'm thinking it'd probably take about 20 minutes. Is everybody game for that or not? We got it, one yes, because I don't know what you guys are doing tonight. We got two more. Okay, we're going to go for another 20 minutes because we got about four more examples. Yeah, me too. Ron says yes. Very good. If not, have your dog bite him. Yeah, okay, great. And again, this is so, and you should highlight in your Byzantine text, you should highlight this tuto ta proterion he kine diatheke estin, because your mind has already gone over that. Alright? So it's important that, other friends know, it's important that your mind says, hey, I've done something in the koine. I understand when I open up the Byzantine text, at least I understand this phrase here, and I know that it can be proven out. Does that make sense to you? Okay, great. Going back to your textbook, on page 82, we have Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44 is on page 29 in your Byzantine text. Turn to 29, page 29 in your all Greek Byzantine text. So just turn there. Notice on the top of the page it says kata, Matthew, according to Matthew. Now turn to your companion Bible, Matthew 13:44, and let's read that. Matthew 13:44. Matthew 13:44, and it reads again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man has found, he hides it. For joy thereof goes and sells all that he has, and buys that field. Alright? Looking at your Byzantine text on page 29, you'll notice verse 44 in the middle of the page, of page 29 in your all Greek text. Looking at the end of that paragraph, you see kai agoradze tan argon ekanon. Ekanon means that. The last form in page in verse 44 of page 29 is ekanon. It means that. Kai agoradze tan argon ekainon means, in the English, he buys that, the ekainon argon. Argon is field. The ekainon Aragon. That field. Excellent. All right. Going on, one more example of the usage of this demonstrative pronoun according to Rule 1. We go to Luke 12:46. That's on page 158 in your Byzantine text. Turn to page 158 in your Byzantine. And it on the top of the page it says kata lakon. That means according to Luke. And Luke 12:46, going to your companion Bible or the King James Version. Luke 12:46. Matthew, Mark, Luke 12:46. It reads, "The Lord of that servant or slave will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour which he is not aware." Turning to page 158 in your Byzantine text, the all Greek text, in verse 46, it's kind of like in the middle of the second paragraph, it reads, "Heitse ha kurias tu dulu ekenu." Heitse ha kurias tu dulu ekenu. Ekenu is that. Dulu ekenu is that slave or that servant. Ha kurias is the Lord or the master. All right? Hexe ha kurias tu dulu ekenu. The master or the Lord of that slave will come. Great. All right, now we get to rule number 2 as far as demonstrative pronouns are concerned. All of the foregoing were examples of rule number 1. Let's go back to rule number 1 on page 81 and read it again. Page 81, right underneath sub-lesson 78. It states, "They are most frequently used, that is, demonstrative pronouns, to modify nouns, in which case they agree with the noun in gender, in number, and case. In this use, the noun always has the definite article, and the demonstrative pronoun stands in the predicate position. That is, the pronoun is never immediately preceded by the definite article, and the definite article is the." That's what a definite article is. All right, that's rule number 1. And all of the verses that we studied are examples of that rule, rule number 1, as far as demonstrative pronouns are concerned. Now we're going to look at an example of rule number 2. In the middle of page 82, in Black's text, to repeat, Greek demonstrative pronouns always modify anthros nouns, and they always occur in the predicate position. Okay. That applies to rule number 1. Okay. Now we're going to read rule number 2. Both autos, meaning this, and ekainos, meaning that, or ekainos, may also be used by themselves with the force of a substantive. And what a substantive is a substantive is another word for noun. Reading that again. Both autos and akenos may also be used by themselves with the force of a noun or a substantive. In this usage, autos could mean this one, rather than just meaning this. It could mean this one, or this man, or this person. All right, there's a difference there. And akenos could mean that one, that man, or that person. All right, it stands alone, and it can mean, according to this rule, it can mean that one, that man, or that person. Let's look at an example of this. Turn to Matthew 9:3, and we're almost done. We got three more examples to go. Matthew 9:3. Turn to page 16 in your Byzantine text, the All Greek New Testament. Page 16, Matthew 9:3. We're going to be looking at, and in the Byzantine on page 16, you look at chapter 9, the big 9. And then you look at verse 3, but we're going to just be looking at the two forms at the end of verse 3. The two forms that read autos, blaspheme. Autos, blaspheme. And if we look at Matthew 9:3 in the Companion Bible, let's go there. Matthew 9:3. This is some of the guff the Lord had to put up with. And if you can believe it, believe that Almighty God in the flesh had to put up with this guff from dustballs like you and me. It's incredible what he had to put up with. Matthew 9:3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemes, or is a blasphemer. These scribes and Pharisees said within their own minds after listening to the Lord, this one is a blasphemer. So they were saying that God blasphemes God, if you can imagine that. And God took it. That's what's hard to believe. He took it. And he was their ultimate creator. Now, the more I read truths like that, the more I understand the love of God. You know? You know what I'm saying? The more I understand that he doesn't deserve to take anything from us, and we don't deserve anything from him. That's what truth really is on the planet. We don't deserve anything, and he doesn't deserve any guff from us at all. Yeah. He could have just easily in the flood said bye-bye to all of us. Yep. That's a fact, no matter how much the scientists and all of the other idiots want to tell you. The flood actually happened. 8 people were actually saved. And then the nations came out from them. And all that we see as far as human beings. That's the facts. Whatever other kind of lies are put forth to us, it doesn't make any difference. So, in Matthew 9:3... We already read that in the Companion Bible in Matthew 9:3 in the Byzantine text on page 16. Remember that these demonstrative pronouns can stand by themselves. And if we read the Koine, it reads autos blaspheme, or blaspheme, actually, because the accent is on the last syllable. Autos blaspheme, And that doesn't mean this blasphemes. It means this man, this one, is blaspheming. This one, this man, this person is blaspheming. This is what these goofy scribes thought about the Son of God in front of them. It astounds me, the ignorance of human beings, myself included. Okay. We go down and it farther on page 82 in Black's text, and it says, it is to be carefully observed that when the demonstrative pronouns occur with anarthrous nouns, they are not modified spires of these nouns, but pronouns. And let's look at another example of that in John 10. So we're looking at these demonstrative pronouns standing alone, acting as pronouns. Let's look at John 10:1. John 10:1 in your Byzantine text, in your all Greek text, is on page 220. John 10, verse 1. It's on page 220. Let's look at John 10, verse 1, in your King James or in your companion Bible. We got two more to go and that's it. John 10, 1, looking at your companion Bible. It reads, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Tremendous statement. In your Byzantine, looking on the top of your Byzantine on page 220, we're looking at the end of verse 1 in your Byzantine on page 220 at the top, chapter 10, at the end of verse 1, it says, Ekenas kleptes estin kai leistes. Ekenas kleptes estin kai leistes. And what this means in the English is that man, Ekenas, that person, not this person, but that person, that man, that one who enters at under another way or climbs up another way, that one is Estin, a thief, a kleptes, and a robber, a laistes, a kleptes, and a laistes, a thief, and a robber, because there's only one way to Almighty God, and that's through the Son. There are not many ways to God. There are not many houses of God. There is one. And that, in the Koine, definitely, through God the Holy Spirit, makes it very plain that the one, the Ekenas, that tries to climb up any other way to the Almighty is a thief and a robber. Awesome. Hey, let's turn back to the final example we're going to go over tonight between the demonstrative pronouns of this and that. at the end of page 82 in Black's textbook, we read the third rule of the way that demonstrative pronouns can be used. It states, finally, demonstrative pronouns may be used to refer to persons mentioned in the immediately preceding context. In such cases, they are best translated simply as he, she, or they. He, she, or they. And a tremendous example of this is John, the Gospel of John, the so-called Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 2. Turn to page 193 in your Byzantine text. You know, because what's awesome about this is that we are seeing the actual Koine Greek text. We are actually reading the actual Koine, which God the Holy Spirit put down, and we are actually understanding some of the actual Koine. That's the beauty of what's happening here. All right? No matter how much of neophytes we are, new learners, new plants, it doesn't matter. We're not under any pressure. And the beauty of this is this, is that this is the original language that the Almighty chose. And so, I use that as a springboard in my heart when I pray for the energy to study this language. Just as I would as if I was studying Hebrew. Because these are the two languages of man that Almighty God chose to put down His awesome word. And I suppose, as somebody said, if that doesn't cause your wood to start on fire, your wood must be wet. Somebody said that somewhere. I don't know where it was. Larry. Somebody from the south. Somebody from the southeastern United States. All right. This is the last example. John 1, 2. Let's look at the King James Version of John chapter 1, verse 2. Turning in your companion Bible or whatever King James text you have, talking about the Son of God, it reads, well, we could read verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God the same. Verse 2, was in the beginning with God. If we turn to page 193 in the All Greek Byzantine text, look towards the top of the page at verse 2, it reads, Autos, hein, en, arche, phlas, tan, theon. Autos, hein, en, arche, phlas, tan, theon. And according to rule number 3, which states that sometimes these demonstrative pronouns can refer to a person in the immediately preceding text, that's verse 1, autos hein en arche plas tan theon, means he, that is the Word, was in the beginning with God. He, autos hein en arche plas tan theon. He, the Word, was in the beginning with God. Awesome. Amen. And that concludes tonight's lesson. And that concludes our lesson number 11. I'm not going to go into the vocabulary there, because eventually we will get to it, Lord willing. And I want to state this, I'll state a few things and then we'll end. First of all, I want to thank the Almighty God for His Word. We have access to His Word more than ever before in history. That's a fact. We have access to His original text in the Koine more than ever before in history. Did you know that in order to download a Greek text from the, let's say, fourth or from the first, second, or third century A.D., let's say some 20 or 30 years ago, you would have had to have been a millionaire to get one. Now, you can download them for free. Yeah, in our lifetimes, we don't need $1 million anymore. We can download them right off our computers. And you can buy this Koine Greek text. I'll sell to anybody for $15. Give me a break. From $1 million to $15. So we, of any people, and this is a fact, no matter what any of us thinks, we people today are ones that have absolutely no excuse whatsoever out of any people that ever lived as far as the Word of God is concerned. Another thing I want to say is that I really thank you guys for being here, because it would be tough to do just talking to myself. You know? I like laughing at my own jokes, though, a lot. But this would be tough to do just by myself. So believe me, when I see even one name up here, and I know you guys opened the room for me, believe me, if I didn't have you people, it'd be tough. Okay? The third thing I want to say before we end is, yes it is, before we end is this, is that in the next couple of times, we are going to do vocabulary. We are going to hammer the Greek vocabulary in the lessons that we've already gone through. So, I want you to take a piece of paper and write down these pages of your textbook. All right? I'll give you a minute to get a sheet of paper and a pencil, and you write down these pages in your Professor Black's textbook, because off of these pages we are going to go through vocabulary. Because one thing that we have to know a lot of is just the Koine Greek forms themselves, the vocabulary. Hammer vocabulary, because you have to eventually just look at a form and know what it means. All right, so write these pages down. Roman numeral 11, Roman numeral 12, Roman numeral 13. Also these pages in your Professor Black's textbook. These are the pages that we're going to go over vocabulary. The next pages are 2, 3, 4. 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 17, 18, 22, 26, 27, 28. And pages 55 and 60. If anybody needs me to repeat that, I will. These pages contain vocabulary forms, and we're going to hammer on them. We're going to go over them. It doesn't matter how many weeks it takes me to get through all of these pages. We're going to go through these pages and the vocabulary that is contained on these pages. That's what we're going to do for the next couple of lessons, all right? And that's, you know, that should be very straightforward. So, again, I thank you very much. I love you guys in the Lord. I love Him so much, His Word, and I love all of you in Him, and it's an honor to know you guys, and I don't say that lightly. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to delve into your beautiful Koine. The language that you use to put down your tremendous New Testament scriptures for human beings. We thank you for that, and we pray that we might walk worthy of our calling, and that we might be faithful stewards of your calling, of our calling, and that we might be unashamed workmen, rightly dividing your word of truth. Amen.